This is the story of the one. As a custodial supervisor at a high school, he knows that during cold and flu season, germs spread fast. It's why he partners with Grainger to stay fully stocked on the products and supplies he needs, from tissues to disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Also that he can help students, staff, and teachers stay healthy and focused. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And welcome back to Hour 2 of Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid TV. I'm Davis Maddock, joined by my buddy George Kurtz. We have plenty of headlines to get to here on Wednesday. The news not stopping. We got it going in football. We got it going in baseball. We even have it going in the NBA. We kind of thought we'd be leaving the NBA behind. I know George doesn't care, but it's definitely coming, of course. And I know George doesn't care, and I know my normal co-host Craig Mish doesn't care, but this weekend is the beginning of the continental soccer season. The English Premier League will be beginning. The French Ligue 1 will be starting. We have all of world football back upon us. But George, starting with our headlines today, our first one here, I thought this was the most curious timing, but we have two updates from the Indianapolis Colts. The first, the Colts extend the contract of head coach Frank Reich and of GM Chris Ballard. Well, at the same time, we got a report that the Colts do not want to trade for a quarterback. Afternoon baseball is starting right now, and this is no duh, but Alabama ranked number one in the preseason coaches poll. I want to go back to the Colts here, though. Feels like weird timing for these extensions, considering we don't really know who's going to be the quarterback. You know, seems like Wentz is healthy, but maybe he's not. Yesterday, Craig and I were talking about Sam Ellinger taking first team snaps there. Like, weird, weird timing for the Colts front office, I felt like.
I mean, I guess it is a little bit, right? Right before, training camp's in the middle of it. I guess, but I don't have an issue with it. If you think he's your guy or they're your guys, go for it. And I think they both deserve it. So it's not like it's not like Nagy got a contract extension, you know, or Fangio, which would be, shocking for that matter. So I'm okay with it. Let these guys know, hey, you're secure. Let's go out and win some games here. So it doesn't bother me. It is, once again, I would have thought this would be done in July, June. You know, why they waited now until August is beyond me, but we don't know what's going on. Maybe this stuff was agreed 2 months ago. They're just getting to announcing it now, whatever it might be. So good for the Colts. Better news for the Colts is Wentz and Nelson. I think actually Nelson's more important than Wentz to come back there to really get that solidify the run game there. But if they're both back for week one, that's great. So I think all together today is a great news day for the Colts.
Yeah, it is. It is a pretty good news day. I have a Colts fantasy football question for you, actually, while we're here. When it became announced that Carson Wentz was dealing with this foot injury and that he was going to have a procedure on it, and it was a 5 to 12 week recovery for the Colts quarterback, Jonathan Taylor really started to slide in drafts. He was kind of going on average with about the 10th pick. Now he's much closer to like pick 14, 15, 16. I even actually got him with the last pick of the first round on a Christian McCaffrey team, only 4 or 5 days ago. Where do you think Jonathan Taylor should be drafted, and what do you make of his outlook this season?
Yeah, I think people were also nervous about Taylor because, Wright came out and said, what was it, the beginning of training camp, or maybe at the at a press conference in July, that, hey, Hines is going to get his share too. Yeah, so is Marlon Mack. And we might bring Edgerrin James out of the Hall of Fame run tournament. We're going to play him a little bit as well. So that, as someone who has Jonathan Taylor in a keeper league, I didn't want to hear that. Listen, the game is different today. No one's going to touch the ball 32, 35 times a game. That's not the way it's Coaches don't believe in that nowadays. You're going to kill the running back if you do that. And they want him healthy over a long season. Plus, we have the extra game this year. But still, Jonathan Taylor is the man. And they should realize that and give him the football here. As far as where he should go, I don't think I would take him in the first round. I don't think I would. It depends on how your first round goes. Once again, you're in that regular standard league, not a super flex, not a quarterback, a two-quarterback league. Maybe 10 running backs go in the first round. He is a top 10 running back for me. But he's closer to that 8 to 10 range than he is the top 5. You know, there is some worry here, but we're hearing Wentz is back. That's good. Whatever you think about Wentz, I'd rather have him be a quarterback than Ellinger or Eason. All right, Nelson's back. I think that's extremely important because if you look at Taylor's numbers from last year, his numbers running to the left and running to the right were drastically different, and that's Nelson. That's all about Nelson. So you want him back in there. Like I said, he's in that 8 to 10 range for me. Let's say closer to 8, though. I think I have a number 8 overall here. I did drop him one spot, and I might raise him back up now that we have good news on Nelson and Wentz.
Yeah. Also, are you a college football guy at all? Do you care? Like, does Alabama versus Clemson versus Ohio State versus Georgia versus Oklahoma, does any of that matter to you at all?
I do know there are states in the United States of America, so I'm very well much aware of that, except for Clemson. I used to care about college football. I go back to the 70s and 80s. I was an SMU fan. When SMU got the death penalty, I lost interest in the 80s. Then when Jimmy Johnson went to the Cowboys, I got interest again with the Miami Hurricanes. Then I lost interest again. It comes down to this. I'm married with children. If I tell my wife, nope, no Saturdays and no Sundays, I am no longer married.
Yeah, you know, it really is that simple. Craig and I talk about that all the time. He says, Davis, look, you know, you have time right now. You're waking up on Saturday morning. You're watching soccer. You're staying up on Monday night. You're staying up on Sunday night. You're staying up on Thursday night. You got to give something up. And it's true. And you know, I've heard this talking point from many people. Certainly Craig was not the first one to come up with it. George, you weren't the first person to say it. I wasn't the first person to say it. The first person I ever heard make this point was none other than the great Bill Simmons. You know, Bill Simmons is a great longtime sports writer, podcaster, TV host. You know, I mean, guy's done it all. And I remember, you know, really early on being like 16, 17, reading his stuff on page 2. And he'd be saying, look, I can't watch college basketball. I can't watch tennis. You think I have time to watch Wimbledon? I got kids. I got basketball. I got my job. I got to do all these things. And every year older, I really sympathize with that more and more. Everyone, stay tuned for the rest of Hour 2 here on Sports Grid TV. We have my favorite fantasy football stacks coming up next, fantasy or reality later in the show, and a little bit of take 'em or leave 'em. See you guys in a few moments.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid TV. I'm Davis Maddock, joined by George Kurtz on this Wednesday afternoon. We are going to take a look at, of course, more fantasy football analysis here, and we're going to take a look at the concept of stacking in fantasy football and then going to analyze some of my favorite stacks. And I guess, you know, the right place to begin here is I feel like people, you know, they get stacking for DFS. Maybe they even get stacking for best ball leagues. But, George, I feel like the concept of stacking just in your 12-team PPR league with your buddies from college, I feel like people are not quite there yet. Where do you come down on the concept of stacking teammates in those 12-team leagues?
I like the quarterback to wide receiver hookup. I do. I like getting that quick, PPR league, at least 14 points, right? I guess it's at least 12 points now that I think about it. So, I do like that. if you're gonna ask me, are you gonna throw in a tight end here and a running back or just one of those guys? Well, now you're asking a lot here because I need a lot of points. Let's talk about certain teams. The Cowboys, I have no problem. You want to go with Zeke, you want to go Cooper, Dak, fine. They're going to score a million points. They have no choice. The Falcons are going to score 1,000 points this year. They have no choice. Green Bay, Tampa Bay, sure. But there are certain other teams, lower-end teams, or teams that are right in that middle, that I don't want to stack those teams because there are going to be some weeks they don't score. Plus, your bye week is now a problem because you know you lost at least 3-4 players that week, and that could be a loss here. If you're going to stack – that might be the only time, by the way, Davis, that I would look at schedule. Okay, if I'm going to stack the giggles, I'm going to stack the Cowboys. Well, I better look at who they're playing during the playoffs, the fantasy playoffs. All right, because what if they're going up against the Rams that week in week one or week two? The Buccaneers. All right, I know they're not. I know they're playing the Bucs week one, but you get my point here. Also, I got to worry about this now. The Washington football team, they're going up against them. I think that defense is outstanding. You know, so that's my problem with stacks. But I don't stay away from it. Generally, when I draft, I'm taking BPA. I go in with a general strategy. In the first round, if I know where I'm picking, if I'm picking eighth, I'll write down my top eight players. I'm just following that. After that, the strategy depends on what the draft looks like. Every draft seems to be different. Sometimes you get wide receivers going in round one, tight ends. You see quarterbacks getting smattering about here. So I don't really like to tie myself down to any one strategy, but the BPA tells me what to do. And if every time my turn comes up, it has to be somebody on the same team, all right, I'm going to take the other running back. All right, I'll take the wide receiver. Maybe I'll take the quarterback. But granted, if I get down to tight end, I've already got three on the same team. Unless that tight end is by far and away better than anybody else on the board, I'm going to look at someone who's close enough. Even if it's a little downgrade, in my opinion, I'll take that. Because I don't want to have – use a bad pun. I don't want to have all my eggs in one basket, no.
Yeah, so I'm pretty much with you. I think stacking for DFS, very important. Stacking for best ball, very important. I do like to have, especially if I draft an early quarterback. So if I'm taking Mahomes, if I'm taking Kyler Murray, if I am taking Aaron Rodgers, if I'm taking Dak Prescott, Josh Allen, I do really like to stack that guy. You know, I'd love to have Diggs and Allen. I would love to have DeAndre Hopkins and Kyler Murray. So we're going to go ahead and get into that. We're going to start with my absolute favorite, which is the Dallas Cowboys. I think there is a chance, a pretty good chance relative to the market, that the Cowboys score the most points in the NFL, and also that they are not going to have a fourth guy, right? Blake Jarwin, Dalton Schultz, Cedric Wilson, Tony Pollard. I think a vast majority of their fantasy points are going to be scored by CeeDee Lamb, Amari Cooper, Michael Gallup, Ezekiel Elliott, and Dak Prescott. And so for that reason, just the average draft, you know, doesn't even matter what spot I'm picking out of. I am trying to execute this Dallas Cowboys stack. So a couple questions here. One, do you agree with me on the Cowboys? And then two, of these three wide receivers, which one would you most prefer to stack with Dak Prescott?
Well, I agree that Dallas should be able to score points. Everyone's healthy. I mean, everyone's healthy. Offensive line's healthy. Dak, I know he's got the shoulder injury, but he's starting to do some light throwing now. He'll be fine before the Tampa Bay game. Cooper came back yesterday off the PUP. He's healthy. So they're going to score points. The tight ends are healthy, by the way, as well. They don't have a choice. Because, all right, let's just say for giggles, the defense has improved. And let's face it, it has to be. It was awful last year. All right, the Cowboys, interesting. It wasn't the players' fault. It was the coach's fault. So we fire Mike Nolan. We bring in Dan Quinn, keep the same players, add 9,000 draft picks, and that's going to solve the problem. But even if it does, this is not going to be an above-average defense. It's not. It's going to be average at best, and that's being kind. Probably below average, which means Dallas is likely going to have to score 30-plus points a game to win, and they know that now. They know that. Dak, top three, top five quarterback at worst for me in fantasy. Cooper, Lamb. I'm leaning towards Lamb. Cooper's going to have some big games. He always does, but there's also going to be some games where he disappears or he gets hurt. He's another guy. He's sort of like a poor man's Julio Jones. Always seems to have a foot injury. And unlike some of these other players, it's just like when he has the injury, he doesn't perform very well. He can't play through it. You know, so this seems to be one of those guys to me. I'd rather have Lamb than Cooper, and you might pay a little bit of a cheaper price as well here. The other issue is Michael Gallup's a damn good wide receiver as well. And he's going to steal away points from both these guys, steal away targets there. And one thing I believe is going to happen, unless Cooper has a monster year this year, he signed a four-year deal before last season, but the Cowboys can get out of it. So they want to see what Gallup can do because Gallup's a free agent. If Gallup can be the man, they'll let Cooper go, save the money on the cap, and they'll re-sign Gallup for, I don't know, three quarters of what Cooper is making, but save money against the cap there. So I expect that. We know the running game should work. Ezekiel Elliott is much like Cooper in the fact that the Cowboys can get out of that contract this season. There's a reason why Zeke is all of a sudden in the greatest shape of his career. It's because Zeke knows, his agents told him, yeah, it's not a huge cap hit. If Dallas wants to move on from you this year, they can do it. So he has to have a big year. All right, so the Cowboys are going to score points. I have no problem taking, and I'm the Cowboy fan. There's a lot of 35, 38, 35 games coming in the Cowboys' future.
Yeah, you are definitely right about that. Okay, moving on to my second favorite offense to stack. Of course, these two teams play each other in Week 17. That's definitely pretty helpful in those best ball tournaments for our stacks there. But of course, we have Kyler Murray, ADP of 55, Chase Edmonds around 80, then the three wide receivers, DeAndre Hopkins, second round pick, and then AJ Green and Christian Kirk, very cheap. I guess what I love most about this stack is that, you know, you can take Hopkins, then you can get a pretty good price on Kyler Murray, who is one of the best running quarterbacks in the NFL. Guy is so fast, moves so well laterally. But then if you want to add on to that stack, it's not like AJ Green or Christian Kirk are expensive. And if you have a strong lean, like AJ Green's healthy, he just had a bad year with the Bengals, he's going to figure it out. Or AJ Green's done, I don't think he's going to make the team, I think he's toast. Then you have Christian Kirk right there, cheap as well. I don't love Cliff Kingsbury, and I don't love his play calling, but this is a very high-volume offense, George.
It is, and there's a lot of pressure on Kingsbury this year. They choked at the end of last year. I know Murray was hurt at the end, but they choked. They should have been in the playoffs, but they couldn't beat a San Fran team that really resembled my high school football team as far as what was left after injuries there. So they choked, so they had a lot of pressure. I wonder if Kingsbury's going to be on the hot seat, and we're going to be talking in February, March, and he's on the hot seat. You know, Black Monday could come get him if they don't get in the playoffs, and they play in a rough division. And that's going to one thing where a stack, they're not going to be a weekly stack for me. You play the Rams, you play the Niners, no thanks. I'm going to be staying away from that stack. Love Murray, once again, top five quarterback for me, no problem going with him. I think when you go in with your stacks, we seem to like rushing quarterbacks because you want to add that extra 40, 60, 70 yards rushing. Edmonds is fine. I don't think Green's done. I don't think he's AJ Green anymore, though. And I always wonder when teams add in a future Hall of Famer who's not a Hall of Famer anymore, how does Green react when he's, A, not the number one guy? We know that's Hopkins. But maybe he's not even getting half the targets he thought he would get. You know, and he still realizes, he still thinks, that, you know, I am AJ Green. I'm a Hall of Famer. I'm going to be a Hall of Famer. Why aren't I getting these targets? So I wonder if that could affect things as we move along here. So this is not really one of my favorite stacks because I think there'll be weeks where things aren't working. You know, so I like Arizona. I think they're going to score points, but stacking will be every now and again for me with this team.
Yeah. Then our final team here, we don't have enough time to get real deep into it, but I do like the Dolphins as well. Tua, Fuller, Waddle, Parker, and Gesicki, all of those guys are very cheap. We are running up right against another break. When we return, George and I will be doing some take 'em or leave 'em with some guys who are options for our fantasy football teams this season. Hope to have some good conversation there. Then fantasy or reality coming up here in about 16 minutes, so definitely stay tuned for that. Everyone stay tuned to Fantasy Sports Today and Sports Grid TV. See you guys on the other side of break in a few moments.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hello everyone, and welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid TV. I'm Davis Maddock, joined by George Kurtz. We just had some good conversation on stacking in fantasy leagues, something I definitely think we should all be doing, because look, if it's like only making one bet instead of four bets, right? I bet the Dolphins are going to be good, which means that Tua and Waddle and Fuller and Gesicki, they'll all be underpriced. But we're going to change our direction here a little bit, and we're going to return to the game we love. Take them or leave them. We have three, I think, actually really fascinating players that Brett Levy chose for us today, because I can pretty much build a pro or con case for all three of these guys. So I'm interested to see what side of the aisle George lands on. Our first guy here, rookie quarterback, the phenom from Clemson, Trevor Lawrence, number one overall pick in the 2021 NFL draft. Trevor Lawrence is, of course, going to be the starting quarterback with the Jacksonville Jaguars for all 17 games, assuming that he is healthy. Are we taking him or leaving him at an ADP of around the 10th, 11th, 12th round, kind of depending on your draft, 118, 115? That's the range he's really been going for most of the offseason, George.
Well, if you're playing in a one quarterback league, which the majority of you do, it's a mistake. Join a super flex league. Come on, get some strategy going there. You're leaving him. Most leagues are 10-team leagues, by the way, but we usually talk about 12-team leagues. And even if you raise it to 12, he's not going to be a quarterback one. He's going to go through some growing pains this year. I like Lawrence. I certainly think the Jaguars made the right choice. I understand he's the best quarterback coming out of college as Andrew Luck. I get all that. But we are deep at quarterback in fantasy football. Once again, it's why you should be playing in a two-quarterback league of some sort. Mahomes, Allen, Murray, Prescott, Lamar Jackson, Rodgers, Wilson, Herbert, Brady, Tannehill, Stafford, Joe Burrow will be up in this list here. Matt Ryan's going to throw over a million yards this year because they have no defense. What about Baker Mayfield? I just named about 14, 15 quarterbacks, and any one of which I'd probably take over Lawrence. So I am leaving him. No problem if you're going to take two quarterbacks in your draft, which is funny, by the way. We all say don't do this, but you sort of have no choice. There's always going to be five, six guys who do take a second quarterback, which makes you have to take one to make sure you're covered here. I just find it's incredibly ironic. Probably should have saved this for the little 1 minute bitch session at the end when we do that, but just drives me insane here. But I am leaving Trevor Lawrence. I like the player. It has nothing to do with the player, but fantasy football, we're deep at quarterback. I am leaving Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah, it's funny. I like you. I like Trevor Lawrence in a vacuum. I think he's good. I like Trevor Lawrence in best ball. I match him up with LaVisca Chenault, Marvin Jones, Travis Etienne, guys like that. But I think in my managed leagues, my normal start sit leagues, I think I'm going to – I agree with you. You do have to take two quarterbacks quite a bit. I think I would rather go with Trey Lance and Justin Fields, know that I'm not going to be able to start them week one, and take – a Matt Stafford, a Matt Ryan, even a Ben Roethlisberger really late in the draft, and just start those guys for a couple weeks, get whatever they end up producing, and then end up starting Justin Fields or Trey Lance, and hoping for some rushing upside there. And I guess, to be fair, Trevor Lawrence does run a little bit. Remember, he had that great 40-yard touchdown in the ACC Conference Championship game. Like, he can scoot around a little bit. He's not as athletic as Justin Fields or Trey Lance, but, it's not like he's Tom Savage back there, a total statue in the pocket either. Our next guy was actually more productive than DJ Moore last year. Robbie Anderson, Carolina Panthers wide receiver, average draft position, sixth, seventh round, right around pick 71. 95 receptions, a shade over 1,000 yards, only three touchdowns last year, but 138 targets. I have a hard time with Robbie Anderson, not because I don't think he's good, not because I don't think he's going to be productive, but I just love DJ Moore. I really love DJ Moore. I think DJ Moore, if he played for the Chiefs or if he played for the Cardinals or for the 49ers or for the Cowboys, I think that we would talk about DJ Moore the way we talk about, CeeDee Lamb, Justin Jefferson, A.J. Brown. I really do think he is that physically talented. And maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm wrong. I will always, what I say is definitely not gospel. So I like Robbie Anderson, but I don't find myself taking him a ton, mostly because I already have DJ Moore in so many leagues. What say you, take or leave Robbie Anderson, George?
I certainly don't want two Panther wide receivers on my team. Now, I'm going to take Robbie Anderson. I like Robbie Anderson. But if I ever trade the DJ Moore, and I have DJ Moore as a mid-range wide receiver too, Robbie Anderson's more of a mid-range wide receiver three. So I like DJ Moore as well. I would always take him above Robbie Anderson, not even really all that much of an afterthought for me. But my issue is going to be this. Now, I think Robbie Anderson, I don't think he's the most talented wide receiver. I just think he is a guy who gets the most out of whatever talent he has here. And that's great for him. You know, God bless you, did a great job here. How much do we trust Sam Darnold? All right, I know we're going to blame, I don't know, it was Matt Gase and all the you know, garbage that went on with the Jets. I understand that. But it wasn't all their fault. You know, Darnold had some issues as well here. So how much do we trust Sam Darnold to get these guys to football? Plus, Christian McCaffrey's back. You know, and we know he's going to touch the ball 1,000 times this year, whether it be out of the backfield, catching passes, or as a running back there. So I'm going to take Robbie Anderson, but it's going to be a little caveat here. I'm not taking him in round 6. He's got to fall a little further to me, probably around 8-ish. You know, I need him to fall. I do like the player. I think he'll do some damage here, and he does have some chemistry already, or I should say some game experience, a lot of game experience with Darnold. That should help. Should help somewhat. Maybe a little security blanket there. You know, I'm looking at the altitude. I'm a glass half full guy here. So give me Robbie Anderson, but probably not the current ADP he's going at, but I'm a little bit more on him. But no doubt, I would take DJ Moore over Anderson, you know, every day of the week. But even him, I dropped a little bit because I just don't trust Sam Darnold.
Yeah, to be fair, I don't really trust Sam Darnold either. But I think people would be surprised to know that on a 5-win Panthers team last year with Teddy Bridgewater as the quarterback, Robbie Anderson, DJ Moore, and Curtis Samuel all finished as top 30 wide receivers in PPR leagues. Now, some of that probably was a function of Christian McCaffrey being injured and there was more receptions to go around and things like that. But I think the fact that they have no fourth wide receiver, they don't have a tight end, right? They're not throwing to Ian Thomas. They're not throwing to Tommy Tremble. Basically, all of their passes go to four guys: Christian McCaffrey, DJ Moore, Robbie Anderson, and this year it's going to be Terrace Marshall instead of Curtis Samuel. And I do think that makes Robbie Anderson and DJ Moore small loss, big win style players. And if I was really to define my fantasy football strategy, it would be trying to take as many players who are small losses and big wins, which I think can definitely define the Chargers' backfield situation. Because one thing we know, George, Austin Eckler is not getting goal line carries. He has been on the Chargers for 4 seasons, and he has fewer than 10 carries inside the 5-yard line. It's just not a role that they're going to use him in. Part of that is due to his size. NFL coaches, they're so archaic. They view things in such a strange way. I don't really get why. But, I mean, last year they were giving goal line carries to Kalen Ballage. Yes, the Kalen Ballage. They were giving Kalen Ballage, I say it again, Kalen Ballage, 10, 15 touches a game when Austin Eckler was healthy. It doesn't make any sense, but Justin Jackson, Larry Roundtree, Joshua Kelly, who played very bad last year, basically got benched for the aforementioned Kalen Ballage. I don't know which one of these guys is going to be the handcuff. My guess is that it is going to be Justin Jackson, who's getting some of those goal line carries, who gets his, you know, 150 carries over the course of the year. He is going truly in the last round of drafts right now, an ADP of about 215. Did not play very much last year, 270 rushing yards, 19 receptions, 173 yards. Didn't score. He was injured last year. They were playing Josh Kelly at the beginning of the year. First off, what do you make of the Chargers' backfield? How do you feel about Austin Eckler? And then are you taking or leaving Justin Jackson?
I mean, listen, I like Eckler. I do. But he's never going to play 17 games. I don't see that happening. He'll suffer an injury there. Another guy who I'd probably put the over-under at about 13.5, maybe 12.5 as far as how many games played he gets in there. So, yeah, I'm certainly interested in Charger backups. But which guy? I mean, I think it's Jackson. But as you said, last year they were all over the place, and now it's a new coaching staff, so we really don't know what's going on, you know, what they're going to use here. I do have Justin Jackson in a deep dynasty league, so that's right. He's just on the roster there because it's a 40-man roster. I can afford to stash him there. He is going to be a last-round pick, or, you know, once again, if you play in a normal league, it's 16 rounds. You take your defense in round 16. You're still playing with kickers. There's 15, so he's a 14th-round pick, whatever it might be. Yay. He's a guy I don't mind because I will be banking on the fact that, as you said, and I agree, I don't think Eckler's going to be the goal line guy for most of it. So I want that guy. I want that guy who I think is going to be the touchdown guy to fill in my bye weeks, fill in when injuries happen here. And we all go through guys like this. And at the end, you know, I'm in that portion of my draft now. I think we're in round 11 here. And you're seeing the guys like Pollard go, Madison go, Philip Lindsay will go in a little bit, I'm sure. Guys like that. So we're looking for either your handcuff, a guy you're going to who's going to get hurt? Oh, Dalvin Cook gets hurt all the time. I'll take Madison. That'll be a good get here. Or you're looking for your touchdown guy, the guy who's going to be that goal line guy. I think Jackson could be that, but we don't know. But at this point, it's a dartboard throw at your dartboards. Who cares? If you're wrong, he's the first guy you release for the hot guy in the waiver wire anyway, so it's no big deal. So I have no problem taking Jackson, but he's not someone I'm looking to grab either.
Yeah, I think that that about sums up my thoughts as well. I mean, I wish that the Chargers coaching staff would come out and say, all right, it's Justin Jackson, that's the guy. Or they'd come out and say, Larry Rountree, that's the guy. Or they'd come out and they would say, Joshua Kelly, that's the guy. And I guess to be fair to them, the old Chargers coaching staff last year, they actually did do that. They were basically like, yeah, you know, this fourth round rookie that we got from UCLA, Josh Kelly, he's going to be the guy. And fantasy owners of Austin Eckler last season, they definitely were cursing Joshua Kelly's name, because at the beginning of last season, Joshua Kelly was playing a ton, scored a rushing touchdown the first week of the season, played 52% of the offensive snaps in the loss to Kansas City in week two, you know, had games of 11 carries, 12 carries, was getting targeted in the passing game, and then he got benched for fumbling, and then it became the Austin Eckler show when he returned from injury. So I'm with you there mostly. I am in on Justin Jackson. I think he'll be the guy. Everyone, we are going to go to break here real quick on Fantasy Sports Today. When we return, we'll come back to everybody's favorite game, Fantasy or Reality.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid TV. My name is Davis Maddock. I am joined by George Kurtz, and we are heading to everyone's favorite part of the show, of course, fantasy or reality. But before we get there, I need to remind everyone to please follow us on Twitter at Sports Grid and at Sports Grid TV. Everyone, you can stay tuned and stay on the grid all day long by following us at Sports Grid and at Sports Grid TV. There's nothing like being informed with all the odds, analysis, best bets all day long. You can follow me on Twitter at Davis Maddock. You can follow George. Can't follow Brett because Brett doesn't want anyone to read his very sad New York Mets tweets. It's all sad. You know, he has to unfortunately see the New York Mets tumbling down the standings every single day. They are third place in the division, three games back, losing ground to the Braves and to the Phillies. Brett, look, bud. I'm sorry. I'm sorry that we have to lead Fantasy Sports Today with no one following you on Twitter and, you know, with me ragging on your New York Mets.
Hey, that's okay, Davis. You know what? The New York Mets will bounce back. We'll be all right. Here we have an owner with some money to spend, so we'll see what happens there. But the Green Bay Packers don't have an owner, and their starting quarterback is probably not going to play this preseason. So it'll be a year since week one, since Aaron Rodgers takes his last meaningful snap in any sort of action with the Green Bay Packers. They've seen a lot of Jordan Love this summer between minicamp and training camp. By the end of the preseason, they'll have seen him in four live games. So, George, we'll start with you for this one. Green Bay will know what they have in Jordan Love after the preseason. Is this a fantasy or reality?
This is a good question. This is a good question, Brett. I mean, they only get three preseason games this year, not four. So that hurts a little bit there. Odds are the third preseason game, yeah, they're playing Buffalo the third preseason game. Buffalo's not throwing much out there. All right, they're not going to have a lot of their regulars. They play the Texans and the Jets, their other two preseason games. Not exactly the greatest teams on the planet. Fantasy or reality? I'm going to say it's a fantasy. I think they'll have a slight idea of hedging one direction or the other, but I don't think they'll know. And how many of their players, of their top players, are they going to play as well? Is Devontae Adams going to play a lot? You know, are we going to see a whole lot of the running? Are we going to see it's the top offensive lineman? No. They're really saving all their bullets, all their ammunition for when Aaron Rodgers gets out there. So a smattering of players aren't going to play all that much. I think they'll get an idea of whether Love can be the guy, but I don't think they'll have it. Oh, nope, he's it. And I don't think it could be the other way either. Oh, he's terrible. You know, because I don't think that's fair either if you don't have Devontae Adams out there with 60, 70 snaps a game here. So I'll say a fantasy, but I love the question.
I like the question, too, because I think it's fascinating, because clearly the Green Bay Packers are going to be at this big decision point at the end of the season. Like, all right, well, what do we do? Do we try and get a Ryan Fitzpatrick, an Andy Dalton, a Jimmy Garoppolo? Do we try and get one of these stopgap quarterbacks after Aaron Rodgers leaves? Or do we just say, you know what, screw it. We're going into 2022 with Jordan Love and Tim Boyle. Those are our guys at quarterback, and whatever they're able to do on the field is, you know, whatever they're able to do on the field. My guess, though, is that I'm going to agree with George. I do think that this is a fantasy. I don't know how you could know based on the preseason. And Jordan Love had a very odd college career. So in 2018 at Utah State, he threw 32 touchdowns and 6 interceptions. But in 2019, you know, it's not like the guy absolutely set the world on fire. He had 20 touchdowns. He had 17 interceptions. He ran 81 times for 175 yards, no rushing touchdowns. And the teams that he played, George, his final season at Utah State, Wake Forest, Stony Brook, Louisiana State, Fresno State, Wyoming, I mean, losing to Boise State, losing to Kent State in a bowl game. Let me tell you, losing to Kent State in a bowl game, your final game as, you know, a first-round NFL quarterback, don't think that's a particularly great signal. So my guess is actually that if they do know what they have, if they're like, all right, we know that Jordan Love is X, Y, or Z, they're going to know what they have in a bad way. They're going to say, we cannot continue with Jordan Love as our quarterback for this franchise. So I think the answer is fantasy, but if they do know, they're going to know that he's bad.
All right. Well, our next question, we turn to the diamond. As we saw some reports surface yesterday of Fernando Tatis Jr. might maybe taking some reps in the outfield. San Diego thinking about, while he's rehabbing his shoulder, maybe playing him in the outfield. So, you know, we had to ask. Davis, we'll start with you. Moving Fernando Tatis Jr. to the outfield is a good idea for this season. Is this a fantasy or reality?
So I guess I would need Craig. Well, actually, you know, I bet George knows, and I'll turn it over to him here in a second. But, I mean, has Tatis played the outfield before? Now, if he has played the outfield before, I would guess that this is a good idea. You know, if he has played the outfield before, if he's comfortable out there with the glove, if he's comfortable with the range of motion and everything, it's probably a good idea. Outfielders are, I guess, marginally less likely to get injured out there, though clearly what you'd want to do is you just wanted to DH. This goes back to the very dumb, like, what? Baseball, I feel like baseball hates their own sport. They hate celebrations. They hate when Fernando Tatis, you know, stares down a pitcher after he hits a dinger off of him. The designated hitter in the National League, it was the best. Like, this is what everyone wants. No one, I never in my life again want to watch a pitcher go up to the plate with a bat in their hands. I don't ever want to see Adam Wainwright with a bat. I don't even want to see Clayton Kershaw or Zach Greinke or Madison Bumgarner, you know, these guys who have hit home runs. I don't even want to see them. The only guy who pitches who I want to see hit is Shohei Ohtani. Everyone else can leave it. I don't want to see any of it. So baseball, they hate their own sport, so they take away the designated hitter from the National League. And now the Padres have this huge problem where Tatis keeps getting banged up. He's dealing with this chronic injury. It's causing him pain to play in the outfield. Ideally, they would just have him bat for the rest of the year. I guess Tatis, even if he hasn't played the outfield, could go do like a Manny Ramirez job out there in left field where he just tries to not make mistakes and he just tries to get behind the ball and get it into third base so that doubles don't turn into triples. But I'm going to say it's a fantasy, though, because you don't want to ask an elite athlete like Tatis to do something he hasn't done before. you know, that, I mean, we saw Eloy Jimenez, who again should just be a DH, get injured out there in left field. But I'm going to toss this over to you, George, and I'm going to ask, do you know if Tatis at any level in the minors or anything played outfield?
He has played outfield, all right? So he can do it, and he'd be much better than Manny Ramirez. He's not going to be a superstar out there, you know, gold glove center fielder or left fielder, right fielder, whatever it might be, but he would be more than passable. So I think this is reality, and I'll tell for a couple of reasons. One, now you already sort of hinted on it. He's got the shoulder subluxation, all right? That means his shoulder pops out, all right? He's going to have surgery in the offseason. I imagine right after the Padres are eliminated, whether they win the World Series, the wild card game, or whatever it might be, he has that surgery to tighten up those ligaments, tighten up those tendons in that shoulder so it doesn't keep popping out. The reason why the outfield's better is when you play shortstop, you're going to want to dive for balls. I know he didn't get hurt on a dive. He got hurt a feet first slide at that. Weird. You put your arm down to brace yourself and it popped out again. But you don't want him diving on that shoulder to the left or the right, whatever it might be. Theoretically, you have to do less diving, if any, diving in the outfield. They can pretty much tell him, don't dive in the outfield. We'll take the single. We'll take the double. We don't care. Don't dive. We want you in the lineup. So I think this is a reality. I think it's a smart move. This guy, he's been on the IL, twice now, yet he still leads the National League in home runs with 31. He is a mega, mega superstar. You want him healthy for the rest of the regular season. You want him healthy for the playoffs here. And if that's how you keep him healthy, fine. And, yeah, you lose a little bit of defense in the infield here, but you're fine. I mean, Hosmer plays first, Frazier plays second, Machado third, Cronenworth plays short. It's a little bit of a downgrade. I get it, but you're still all right. Pham, Grisham, Myers, there's really your worry here. Who's sitting? Pham, Grisham, Myers, Tatis. Tatis ain't sitting. So he's one of these other three guys that has to sit. Shame. I think you can live without Myers playing every day, without Pham playing every day. I think you're all right there. I think you'll take this. So I think this is a reality, and I think it's going to happen as soon as he feels comfortable out there, and maybe more importantly, as soon as he feels comfortable swinging a bat with that shoulder. I think he'll be back, let's say, next week here. As far as the DH, by the way, I am right there with you. Right there with you. This was a stupid bargaining ploy by the manager, by the owners here, where they thought the players would cave to get 15 extra jobs. You know, and that was, so they tried to use that as a mega bargaining chip to get extra playoffs, you know, to get that money in. I got to think of the new CBA. The pitchers hitting is gone. And come on. Tired of it. Tired of seeing pitchers hit who they don't want to hit. They're scared. I'd be scared going up in the box here. They don't want to hit. They're scared. And every time a pitcher gets hurt running the bases, I swear a little piece of me dies.
All right. Well, our last question of the day is probably our biggest question of the day. The Bachelorette ended last night. I guess a lot of people were surprised because a guy who joined the show late ends up getting engaged to the Bachelorette. Big story. I know George is deeply invested in this. So we'll start with you, George. You watch The Bachelor / The Bachelorette / any of the other versions of this show. Is this a fantasy or reality?
Does anybody think this is reality? Does anybody think I watch any of these shows? I don't watch any reality shows, which aren't reality, by the way. No. I've never seen this. I've maybe seen bits and pieces of like Survivor or American Idol. I wanted to shoot myself in the head. My wife loved that show, and every now and then I'd catch it by just hanging out with her. I was like, no, I don't watch Bachelor. I don't watch Bachelorette. I don't watch the dance thing. I don't watch any music things. I don't watch any Survivor things. I did like I forget the show, Fear Factor. I did watch a little bit of that. Thought that was kind of interesting. But even that, I thought it was kind of bunk because it's Fear Factor, but they're giving you safety harnesses. You're not going to die anyway. And by the way, eating the stuff they made you eat, I'm not afraid of that. It was just gross. That's why I wouldn't do that. But no reality programs to me other than sports.
No reality programs for me. My girlfriend, she does not watch The Bachelor, Bachelorette. This is a fantasy. I don't watch The Bachelor, Bachelorette. She does watch some of those crappy reality shows. I think Below Deck is one of them. That's where they follow the super yachts, right? They have the super yachts, and then you know you have like the 10 people on the boat. You have the captain and the you know the. I don't even know because I definitely don't pay attention. But the people who work on the super yachts, she watches that one. She has not succumbed to The Bachelor and Bachelorette. And I guess I get the idea. Some people in fantasy do watch this because I do see people on my Twitter timeline. They'll be talking about it. I think there's a DFS game that our friend Pat Mayo hosts where like he does it involving like he does it with his podcast and there's like a scoring system. I know our friend Derek Carty is big on this. I guess that if there was like a game theory element to this and a way to gamble on it, maybe they could convince me to watch it. But like, again, who has the time? Would I rather gamble on an hour of The Bachelorette or would I rather find like an Israeli soccer game to bet on? I think I'd probably rather find like the random Israeli soccer game. You know, like that to me just seems a little bit more interesting. Everyone, we're going to wrap up hour two here just in a few moments. Thanks, of course, to everyone for watching Fantasy Sports Today, staying tuned to Sports Grid all day long. When we return here in a few moments, I'll turn it over to George for the Sports Grid 60, and then I'll have mine for you guys as well. See you in a few minutes.
Sports gaming
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Everyone, and welcome to our final segment here of Hour 2 on Fantasy Sports Today. Of course, stay tuned for Sports Grid TV for the rest of the day. We have Pharrell Coast to Coast, a lot of other great programming over the course of the day. You don't need to just be listening to George and I. And at the end of the show, we always turn it over for the Sports Grid 60, 60 seconds of whatever is on George's mind, 60 seconds of whatever is on my mind. George, the floor is yours. What do you have for us today?
All right, we were talking about fantasy football, and I'm in the middle of a slow draft. And I like slow drafts. I don't mind them. And I understand the theory is you could take your time to draft. But even in a slow draft, do you really need to take your full amount of time for every pick? We've had somebody in this league, literally, it's 6 hours. You got 6 hours, the clock is turned off from 1 a.m. to 9 a.m. And they take 6 hours every time. A couple times they've timed out. It's the most frustrating thing. All right, make your pick. All right, you're at a computer. Make your pick. If you know you're not going to be at your computer, put it in the pre-draft. I don't understand why people don't do this. If you know you're not, you might not be able to make it. Put your pick in the your pre-draft so you don't just the computer doesn't automatically take something for you. And there's nothing more frustrating in a slow draft than when somebody at the turn, you know, 12, 13, whatever it might be, makes their first pick and then waits another 4 or 5 hours for their second pick. It's like, what are you doing? You made your first pick. You have to wait again? What do you think is going to happen there? I understand there's a small millennium chance that, hey, there'll be an injury that happens, but nothing more frustrating than that. I'm going to strangle people.
Literally, you actually did just make the point for it's the absolute worst. Guy sitting there on the turn, 7-8 turn, makes his first pick right away. Okay, all right, I'm on the clock. I took Tyler Boyd. Oh, and now I'm going to wait 7 hours and 49 minutes before I take Marvin Jones. I mean, nothing is worse in the world. I just had a funny little one today. The Twins have Luis Arraez and Williams Astudillo, two guys who lead the league in contact rate. I want for the rest of the season the Twins to bat those guys first and second and just annoy the crap out of every pitcher that pitches against the Twins. It won't happen, but it would be very funny, and I would like for that to happen for my enjoyment. Everyone, thank you for watching Fantasy Sports Today. Thank you to Brett for producing. Thank you to everyone over at LTN. Everyone, stay tuned for Sports Grid for the rest of the day. Stay on the grid.